It's faith. We're going to teach faith. So I may just call it faith. Will that be good? Look behind me. What is it called? Extreme Makeover, Faith Edition. There we go. See, I don't get to make all my own decisions, but that's cool. I have to trust my my man E to help me with that. I can do the messages. It's just coming up with titles. That's my deal. So we're going to talk about extreme makeover. I want to approach faith at a little bit different angle. I went to a faith Bible school. I got to sit under a great man of faith. His name was Kenneth Hagin. He's gone to be with the Lord now. He understood faith. He taught faith. He did it for 50, 60 years. He lived by faith. He was just a great man of faith. The body of Christ really misses him and his influence. We do have his books still, but there's nothing like having a person that can confront things that need to be confronted. And he confronted some things before he died about the way some people were doing prosperity stuff. And he confronted that before he passed away. But I had the opportunity to go to that school. Joe and Kevin both went to that school and graduated from that school. So we had the great opportunity to sit under his ministry and learn about faith. In the last few years, I've learned some other things about faith. And the approach that I'm going to take is just a hair different. It's the same message. It's just a hair different. Sometimes we think about faith is one part of our life. Like if I'm believing for faith for a mate, I've already got a mate, but I'm not believing for one. I'm just believing to keep the one I got. But, you know, some people say, well, you know, you're believing God for the right mate, or you're believing God to meet your needs, or you're believing God for salvation or healing or deliverance or to be free of something. And they get specific about certain areas. But I want to talk about your whole life. Your whole life. One of the things that we're learning how to do as believers is not to just compartmentalize our life. We get messed up sometimes. We compartmentalize everything. We put this here, and this here. But your faith is what drives your life. Whether you know it or not, you live by some kind of faith. You live by faith. It may not be correct faith, but you live by some kind of faith. See, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith deals with what is not seen. There is something that directs your life, and it's your belief system. And that's what we're going to be talking about is your belief system. And we know that sometimes we need an extreme makeover when it comes to our belief system. And let me give you the essence of what we're going to be talking about. Write this down. You've probably heard this. But we're going to start with thoughts. Everything that you do starts with thinking. Now, this is not New Age stuff. This is Bible stuff. The Bible talks a whole lot about guarding our minds and guarding our thoughts. And remember, is it Philippians that says that whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. Then it says, if there is any virtue in this, think on these things. Why do we need to think on things that are good? Because everything begins with thinking. Everything that you do in life begins with a thought. Okay? So one of the things that we try to do is influence the way that people think. Everything, every series that we do in this church is designed to be a faith-building series. The circle series that I did for, 9 or 10 weeks? That was a faith series. Why? Because we're trying to change the way that we think about our relationships. Putting priorities in our relationship. And that has to do with faith, because your faith is what guides your life. You live some kind of faith life. Because we're dealing with the unseen realm. We're dealing with the future. We're dealing with things out there that have not yet come to pass yet. And you know, the Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So there is a correct faith And there is something else that is called faith. And we're going to call it that for the purpose of this. Let me give you another couple terms that we're going to kind of use interchangeably. One is your philosophy of life. What is your philosophy of life? Your philosophy is how you view the world that you live in. It's how you view God and what you think about God. What you think about God will determine the way that you do things. If you're extremely afraid of God, or if you think that God is out to get you, guess what? You're going to act in that way. If you believe that God loves you and that God has a plan for your life, it's going to change the way that not only that you think, but the way that you act. So another word that we're going to use, one is philosophy, one is faith, and the other is worldview, how you view the world that you live in. It is important how you think. So let me give you the progression here. What you think is what you say. What you say, you act on what you say. What you act on becomes your habit. Your habit becomes your character, and your character becomes your destiny. Let's do that again. What you think is what you say. What you say is what you do. You act on it. What you act on becomes a habit. Your habits become your character, and your character becomes your destiny. So if you want to change your destiny, guess where you have to start at? You have to change the way that you think. And I only know one way to think correctly, okay? I'm a guy that believes that there's one book that has correct thinking in it, and that's this book right here, okay? That's why we say faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can develop a life of faith that's different from this. A lot of Christians do this. But when we get away from this, guess what? It changes our destiny. If we don't think right, we're not going to speak right. If we're not going to speak right, we're not going to act right. If we're not going to act right, guess what? We're going to have bad habits, then we'll have bad character, then we'll have bad destiny. So if you don't like your output, you know what you need to do? You need to change your input. Does that make sense? We're going to look at a story in the Bible, in Numbers, and I love this story. This is the story about the 12 spies that go into the land. God told Abraham, He gave him a land. He gave him a land. He promised him a land that flows with milk and honey. And part of what happens is that when Moses goes into Egypt, he brings them out of Egypt and he brings them into the wilderness to bring them into the land. You know, and that's a progression that a lot of times we come into, because Egypt is a type of the world. God brings us out of Egypt. But guess what? We're not ready to necessarily walk in all the fullness of what God has for us. And there are some things that we transpire into. Not that God would not just like to take us into everything that He has for us, but there's some areas of growing that we have to do. There's some areas of decision that we have to do. Because God gave us choice. It would have been so easy if God hadn't given us choice. But you know what? We'd just be robots then. And God gave us the ability to choose. And the children of Israel were notorious for making the wrong choices. Because they thought wrong. They came out of Egypt, but they still had Egypt in them. And there's a lot of Christians who come out of sin, but they still have sin thinking in their heart. So before we can go from Egypt to the promised land, and it's not heaven, it's the provisions of God. Guess what? There's this wilderness thing that we have to deal with. And it's the way that we think. We have to change. We need an extreme makeover. And we're going to get into some of this, but I want us to look at this story, because this story is such a wonderful thing. Numbers chapter 13, I'm just going to read some verses. Let me encourage you to read the 13th chapter and the 14th chapter. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 1 of 13, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. God says, I'm doing what? I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. These were not the novices, these were the leaders. This was the leadership. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. And then it goes on and it names them, and we don't want to do that. So they go in and they spy out the land. He says, now go in and check it out. And God told them to do this. But God didn't tell them to do this because God didn't know what was in there. God sent them in there to see it because He wanted them to make the decision to possess it. Can I say that again? He didn't send them in there because God didn't know what that was in there. God knew what was there. He sent them in there because He wanted them to make the decision to line up with what He said so that they could possess the land. See, they had a choice to make. God loved them. They needed to choose to follow God. They needed to choose what God said. See, we either choose what God said or we choose something else that's based on our belief system. Guess what? If your belief system is wrong, your destiny will be wrong. Okay? So that's why we need to change our belief system so that we can line up with what God said. But if I believe wrong about God and I believe wrong about His Word, guess what? I'm not going to wind up where I'm supposed to. See, some people says, well, you know what? I just believe everything's going to work out the way that it should. For that to happen, God would have to take away your will. Now, in general, things are going to come out in the world system, in the scope of God's plan for the ages. It's going to happen the way that He wants to. But individually in your life, you have to choose certain things. And God's process of change begins with the thought life. Because in the thought life, in the soul, the mind and will and emotions, is where the will is. The ability to choose. God does not make you love Him. God does not make you choose Him. He gives you choice. Now He says, I'm going to set before you life and death and blessing and cursing. Choose life. But you can choose death if you want to. Well, I'm just going to choose neither. You chose death. If you don't choose life, you choose death. Death is your, you know, death is default. You know, in some of our operating systems, we have a default that everything's go back to. Because of the sin of man and the fall of man, our default is death. You have to choose life. Well, I'm just going to go through life and see what happens. I'll tell you, death. Destruction. You have to choose certain things because God gave you the mechanism, and that is the power to choose. And that is so important that we see that. Okay, so they go into the land and they see all that's in the land and they find some grapes. They find some honking big grapes and they bring them back on a pole. They bring a cluster back that takes two men and with a pole to bring them back. How many of you know that God's goodness and God's provision is exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think? Okay? So they bring that back. Drop down to verse 25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh and brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They brought back evidence. They brought back sense, knowledge, evidence. Look at these grapes. They're big as watermelons. Well, I don't know how big they were. I embellish that just a little bit. Then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Everything that God said is true. That's what they said. Everything that God told us about the land is true, and here is the proof. And then, the next verse. King James says, but, everybody say but. But'll get you in trouble. Say it another way, your butts will get you in trouble if you're not careful. Mine says nevertheless. We're fixing to hear something that's contrary to what God said. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can you have faith that's different than what God said? Yeah, your belief system can be different than what God says. And that's where we get into trouble. We're fixing to find out that they have a different modus operandi. They have a different way of viewing things than the way that God views them. So they say, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Those were the NBA players. They were giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, he knew something was going to have to happen here because this was not going in a good direction. Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. We are able to overcome it. But, there's that but again. That butt's always getting in the way. The men who had gone up with them said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Who had they discounted? Who had they discounted? God. Are they stronger than God? Whose battle is it? It's God's battle, isn't it? Let me tell you something. Where God guides, He provides. Where God guides, He provides. And it always don't look good to the natural. That's why it takes faith. Because you're seeing things in life that are contrary to, your five physical senses are telling you something contrary to what God says. If you always walk by what you see, nothing is ever going to change. That's why it says in the New Testament, for we walk by faith, not by sight. If you esteem and judge everything by the way that you see it, you will never overcome any obstacles in life. You'll never get ahead in life. You'll never overcome anything. You'll never have victory in any area because you are looking at everything by what you can see and perceive by the five physical senses. There's a greater truth than the five physical senses, and it's called God's Word and God's promises. God sees things that you and I do not see. God knows things that you and I do not know. God has power that you and I do not have in us. God has ability and God has plans that goes beyond our comprehension. But, nevertheless, I'm afraid. Let's read on. Let's look at their response because it's pretty typical of human behavior. So they go through and they rehearse all of the reasons that they can't do this. And Caleb says, shut up. I embellish that just a little bit. Let us go up at once. We need to go now and take the country, for we are able to overcome it. See, he saw things from a different perspective. He had a different thought. He had a different belief system than the multitude did. Let me tell you something about the multitude. If you follow the multitude, you'll miss it. People of faith are always in the minority. People who do great things all never follow the crowd. They're always different. They always see things from a different perspective. See, there were 12 that went in. 10 of them gave an evil report. 2 of them gave a good report. They were in the minority, weren't they? Okay. Let's read on. Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with them said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. I think King James says evil. Why is it evil? Because it's contrary to what God said. Okay? "Which they had spied out. The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature." They're just easier targets. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. Now look at this. This is an interesting statement, this next statement. "And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." See how they believed? You see what their belief system was? Do you see where their faith was? Do you see what they saw? Can you see how they thought? Because what you think is what you say. What you say is what you do. What you do becomes a habit. Then it becomes your character, and then it becomes your destiny. Let me tell you, their destiny got carried out because of the way they thought about what God had said. Well, you know, if God wants us to have it, then we'll have it. Who died and told you that? Well, that's just what I believe. Can I tell you that's wrong thinking? That's not the way God works. That's not the way God works. God works in us by giving us something that we can change our thinking. We call it the renewing of the mind, and we'll get to that. It's about the renewing of the mind, changing the way that you think, because it begins a process in you that will do an extreme makeover of your personal belief system. And you won't be going back to the default system. You'll have a new default system that won't be death. It'll be life. Okay, here we go. Let's keep going. Notice that they said, "We are grasshoppers in our own eyes." That's how they saw themselves. We are grasshoppers in our eyes. That's how they saw themselves. How do you see yourself? Then they said, "And we're grasshoppers in their eyes." How do you know? Can you see through their eyes? Maybe God put fear in those giants' hearts for those people that were spying out the land. They didn't know. You don't know how the circumstance sees you. But see, because they thought wrong, they perceived everything around them wrong. In fact, God has said, "Listen, I have given you the land." Wow. God spoke it in the past tense. God called those things that be not as though they were. He says, "It's yours." Now guess what they had to do? They had to go in and possess it. They had to choose it. And in order to do that, they were going to have to change the way that they thought about it. They were going to have to consider what God said about it. Now, chapter 14, we need to get through this in a hurry. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night." They had time to stew on this. And their default system was at work. Who did they believe? Did they believe the good report or the evil report? Did they believe the word of the Lord or did they believe the word of the circumstance? Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. They didn't. So what did they do? Because they thought wrong, they spoke wrong. Because they spoke wrong, they acted wrong. And they created a habit that eventually determined their destiny. So all of the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the people of Israel complained. Look at your neighbor and say, complained. Do you complain? Guess what default that is? Okay. Against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, okay, now notice this return to Egypt talk. Well, things are not working out in my Christian life. I just might as well give up and go back into the world. I've heard Christians talk like that. Have you forgot what you come out of? Okay. They complained against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation. If we had only died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us out of this land to fall by the sword? You see what they thought? Did they think what God thought? They thought what they thought. They believed an evil report. And the children should become victims. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? There they go. Let's go back into sin. Let's go back into the world. So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. They started the process. We're going to go back to Egypt. We're going to go back into bondage. What do you think that Pharaoh would have done to them if they'd returned to Egypt? What does the devil do to you when you go back to him? Does he welcome you back with open arms? Sure he does. And then he what? He kills and steals and destroys. The very thing that they feared is the very thing that they were going to go back to. And fear always leads you back to the thing that you're afraid of anyway. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation and of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. What did they believe? What did they think? You can tell by what they said. It became habitual. Say habitual. Habits can be good. Habits don't have to be bad. But there's a process to go from a bad habit to go to a good habit. You have to change the way that you think about something. Okay? Verse 10. And the congregation said to stone them with stones. They picked up rocks. We'll show you. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the congregation of Israel. God got hot. And basically what God said, He says, I tell you what, Moses, just get out of my way. We'll fry these turkeys. We'll disinherit them. And then Moses says, Moses interceded and said, Lord, consider this. What are the people going to say if you do that? What are your enemies going to say that you brought them out to kill them? And God says, at your word, I'll forgive them. He says, but as I live, they'll not enter my land. What stopped it? Their thinking, their speaking, their habits, their character. It became their destiny. And because Joshua and Caleb were of a different spirit, that's what it says later. Read it. We don't have time. But read it. It says that because they had a different spirit, that they would be the only two of the spies that would go into the land. Why? Because they thought different. They spoke different. Their habits were different. Their character was different. Therefore, their destiny was different. Okay, let's close with this. And we've just introduced this today. We're going to talk about changing the way that we think. But if you don't like where you're at in life, if you don't like what's going on in your life, guess where your change has got to start? Guess where your extreme makeover has got to start? It's got to start with choosing to think different. I'm not talking about psychology. You know, science and psychology, all they're doing is discovering how the mind works and how they're just discovering the things of God. Now, their conclusions are not always right, but listen, God is the one who gave us the ability to think and to choose and to speak and to frame things. God is the one who did that. It's not psychology. Psychology has taken some of this stuff and using it to counsel with people and frame people and get them going in a different direction. It's not all bad. But if the makeover is going to begin, then the thinking is going to have to change. See, we as full gospel Christians, we believe in the miraculous. And what we want to happen is for somebody just to lay hands on us and zap us real good and make our circumstances change without process. The process of change is a wonderful thing. The journey of change is a wonderful thing because the subsequent thing that comes out of that is the change of character. It's the change of character. Because if the character doesn't change, the destiny won't change. And we're always wanting God to work a miracle, and God works miracles from time to time. But we're always wanting God to just, all right, God, just renew my mind. Change my circumstance. Change my situation. Heal my body, Lord. But I'm going to continue to kill it by the things that I eat and the things that I do and the habits that I have. No, God, what God wants is an extreme makeover. And that's going to take the rest of your life. You don't like where your marriage is at? Guess what? You're going to have to change some things that you're thinking about your spouse and your marriage and the marriage relationship. If you're having trouble with relationships, guess what? You're going to have to change some ways that you think about that. If you struggle in areas of your life, guess what? It begins with a change of the way that you think about it. You got to find out what God says about it. And then you're going to have to adopt that as the way that you think. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I want my prayer team to come on up. We're going to have a quick prayer time here. Father God, in Jesus' name, we choose to open our hearts to your truths today. We know that there are, in all of us, areas of our life that we need extreme makeover. And Lord God, we want to be open to the things that you want to do in our lives through your word. Lord God, I know that there's marriages that need to be healed here. There are bodies that need to be healed. There's fear that needs to be overcome. There's circumstances and situations of life that need to turn around. Lord God, there are people that You want to change their careers. And You want to bring them into new areas of understanding and prosperity. May we be open to hear Your voice. Because when we hear Your voice, we can think Your thoughts. And we can start the process of makeover, of renewing our minds to Your Word. I pray for Your people today, Lord, that we'll not shut down, but we'll be open in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you have any kind of need, our prayer team is here to pray with you. If you need to make Jesus Lord, there are people here. And that, you know, you're talking about an extreme makeover. The most extreme makeover you can have is the transformation of your spirit, of making Jesus Lord. It'll change the inside of you quickly and completely. But whatever it is you need today, we want to invite you to come and they'll be glad to pray with you. Healing for your body. If you got concerns that you need to pray about, feel free to come right now in Jesus' name.